This is Katie and Kate Carbondale, Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You're listening to GeekSpeak on Katie and Kate. Support for GeekSpeak on Katie and Kate comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. Louie will pick up and deliver your hardware safely and sanitized. Information at 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going well.
I'm sure glad to be back in Colorado.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you had a little bit too much of an adventure in Wyoming.
They got some dangerous birds up there, man. So it was, I was dropping my car off at the body shop yesterday, and one of the guys that was bringing me the rental car, he was a former state trooper. And he was telling me that he hit a big bird. He was in a high-speed chase going 120. And he hit a big bird, and it lodged in his front grill. How fun does that sound? So get out and find a big bird in the front grill of your car. I shouldn't say that right after bird notes. That's kind of insensitive, isn't it?
Suppose so.
Yeah, but I hit like a 20-pound bird in my car. And the old Subaru's in getting a new coat of paint, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So,
as always, you can call in at 963-2976, 970-963-2976.
Sorry.
All good. A little off today.
Yeah. So, we didn't really talk about it before the show, but it's always good to remind people to make sure they've got a good backup regimen.
Yep, absolutely.
I just went through a situation with, I don't know, did you know that there are certain, so Apple has started, several years ago, started soldering the hard drives to the motherboard of the computer.
Yes.
And so I had one of those come in from a local gentleman who had some content on there that he really, really needed. And the data recovery bill ended up being $3,200.
Whoa.
To get it off. And it had to go. At first I sent it off to a logic board because he had a water spill.
Uh-huh.
I sent it off to a logic board repair company and they couldn't fix it. And it was kind of a Hail Mary. I sent it off to Drive Savers out in California. And it took them several weeks, and they had to do some machinations on it. And but it's on its way back. So, but unless you got $3,200 to throw around, you should go pick up a
$50 or $100
2 terabyte drive for $79, right?
Exactly.
You know? So
plug it in and tell your computer to back everything up.
Yep.
There's also a number of cloud services that work very well for that as well. So,
yep. And if nothing else, I was astonished by this. You know how much a 128 gig flash drive is going for these days?
Well, it's like $15, $20, something like that.
Exactly, $19. Yeah. So. So, and you know, you can get most of your valuable, like the really important documents and stuff.
Yeah. By two or three of those. And
yeah. Or you even get one of the 256s. They kind of take a jump. They jump up to like $49 for a 256, I think.
Somewhere in there. Yeah.
And, there's just no way to explain the despair when you like have that. You know, because Matt and I get to do it professionally. That moment when you realize that the data's gone and it's not coming.
There's
back,
no, yeah.
You know?
When you've spent three, when I've spent 3 or 4 days tinkering with it, trying to figure out how to get the stupid thing to come back, and
yeah,
and it's just nope.
Yeah,
not
you've tried putting it in the freezer. You've put it in ice packs. You put heat on one side and cold on the other. You tap it in just the right place with the handle of a screwdriver. You can even do a little voodoo, you know, get a little monkey, get a monkey claw,
do
some stuff.
Some sage and little hard drive ceremony, kind of like the Skeep ceremony.
And it seldom does it work.
No.
It seldom does it work. It's, people would be astounded. I think I posted a picture on Facebook, a number of years ago, and it was my workbench completely covered with dead hard drives. And
yep.
And my workbench is, it's basically made out of a 4x8 sheet of plywood. And not just like one layer of hard drives. Each stack was six or eight hard drives high.
Yeah.
So
I have those big, I think two black tubs full of dead hard drives.
Yeah. And that's, you know, for me, what I had in my picture there was about a year and a half haul, you know, of dead hard drives. So, people just got to know I mean, anybody who's ever seen the inside, I actually compel people to get on YouTube and, you know, basically do a search for how does a hard drive work and, you know, find a YouTube video that actually shows you the inside of a hard drive.
Yeah.
And your first impression will be, it's a wonder that that even works at all.
Yeah.
You know,
because, and then you're talking about flipping magnets. I mean, we call them spinning rust. You're literally flipping little magnets on a little clear plate of metal. You're flipping them up and, you know, so it's negative or positive, so it's a zero or a one.
Zero or one.
And then you're reading it, and the older drives, the, you know, because it's spinning, you have the Coriolis, or wait, is it the Coriolis? Well, anyway, the head that reads that magnet is floating on a little cushion of air because the drive is spinning.
At 5,200 revolutions per minute for
or
a 72, standard
54
home drive.
Or 72.
Yep, that's right, 54. So that's, it's just crazy.
Then the newer, bigger drives use helium. They're hermetically sealed, and instead of having flying on a cushion of air, the reed head is flying on a cushion of helium.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you open one of those up really quick and you breathe in really fast,
you'll
talk like Mickey Mouse.
Exactly.
Cool.
I don't know if there's enough for that, but yes, technically.
I have a new endeavor that I want to try. So.
See if you can. Yeah. So you'll have to check, but they did that for a little while. I'm not sure if they're still doing that, but they did.
Uh-huh.
Like the 8 terabyte drives when they first came out were hermetically sealed and full of helium.
Oh, wow. That's very good. Give us a call if you need help jiggling your printer cable. We are experts at turning things off and back on again. We can tell you when that needs to be done, which is almost always.
Yeah.
Every computer should be turned off and back on at least every couple of days.
That's, yeah.
People don't realize. They're just like, I don't know, they're like the underside of my car this time of year. They just collect junk. You know,
I was gonna say, I think my record for my hosting service is almost 1300 days up and running.
Wow. Yeah.
So, but yes, update and reboot
is
a necessity anymore.
Absolutely. So yeah, give us a call at 970-963-2976. I think our foreign correspondent, Donna Dalton, is going to give us a call here in a little bit. And, so I came across a fun little article about, let's see, what's it titled? The 20 Greatest Home Computers Ranked. Now, this is, the caveat here is the 20 Greatest Home Computers let's see, what's the latest one they have here? 1987.
So.
Yeah,
ancient.
It looks like... Yeah, 1987 is the most recent of them. And here, let's see, I'll quiz you and see if you can guess which one that was. Let's see. You want to guess?
Sure.
It's made by a company that is best known for calculators. So.
Casio?
No.
Oh, no. So it's going to be, or Texas Instruments.
Sharp.
Oh, yeah, Sharp.
Yeah. The Sharp 68000, which I'm going to guess before I even look here, I'm going to bet that it has a Motorola 68K processor in it. What do you want to bet, right? So,
or an 8088.
A key Japanese personal computer of the late 80s, the X68000, featured a 16-bit Motorola 68000 CPU, like the Atari ST and the Amiga, but with added graphics performance, including support for hardware sprites and hardware scrolling, allowing almost perfect conversions of coin-op classics as R-Type and Final Flight. So it's basically an arcade machine disguised as a PC.
I haven't played an R-Type in a very long time. Those are great fun.
Yeah. So describe what would an example of an R-Type be?
I'm trying to think of something that people have run into. Oh, we got a call.
Okay.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
We're good. You saved us from talking about arcade games.
Oh. Oh, that's great, man.
It really is.
I saw a long time ago, I saw an old Mac SE. Remember the Mac SEs?
Oh, yeah. I think you introduced me to the Mac.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I still have mine. And I saw somebody had taken it apart and put an iPad in the screen, and it was like the perfect fit, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Like the same size. Anyway. Yeah.
Did you know that on Instructables, and I don't know if it's still there or not, but there used to be a how-to on Instructables on how to turn one of those into an aquarium. Yeah, and it was
that would be really cool.
Yeah, the end product was. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I wish I would have taken one of those old blueberries with me when I moved, but I just couldn't fit them, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. I made an attempt at turning one of the blueberries into a fish tank.
Oh man! Did it work?
Almost. I got a little ahead of myself, but basically the tank would not leak when I had it out on the table, and then when I put it into the frame of the blueberry, it would leak. So.
Oh, that's funny.
So,
wow. That's funny.
It was worth a try.
The end result of that is it's called a Macquarium, is what they
call it.
Yeah.
That's great. So,
anyway, what question do you have, Donna?
I'm just kind of curious, you know, talking about TV antennas. Do we talk about TV antennas lately?
Nope. We have not.
Here's my question. Like, so I have a TV antenna that is, you know, it's powered, right? Or mm-hmm. whatever you call it, amplified anyway. It uses power. And it says, oh yeah, it gets the UHF and VHF. Mm-hmm. I'm actually able to get, you know, all the local TV stations. But one of them I have trouble, and I believe it's the one that says uses UHF instead of VHF or something. And I'm just kind of curious how you think these antennas, like in general, you know, they have those flat antennas that go against your wall, and then they have ones mm-hmm. that are, you know, all these different styles and ones that are powered and not powered. Do you guys have an opinion on which ones work better than others? Because I can tell you which one worked best for me.
Yeah. You know, it has been a little while since I have done anything with one of those. How about you, Matt?
I was going to say, I was considering getting one just to see what's available locally.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, that must be a newer digital one, because I think in 2010, they phased out UHF and VHF because they wanted to basically...
They went into HD, right?
To a digital signal from an analog signal, and they wanted to use, I think, VHF, I think, which is to the 700 megahertz range, for LTE. So it went away and got replaced by, cell phone traffic, basically. So.
Well, I don't know, but all I know is that it's the one that has. Let's see, it says, while UHF TV was available, blah, 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 preferentially transmitted on VHF, I don't know. Anyway, all I know is the one station that I have trouble with is one or the other, and I just didn't know
mm-hmm.
why that is, and it, even though I point it. But what's just to let you know, so what's really strange, I bought this one from Walmart, that it almost looks like a sound bar. But it's smaller, mm-hmm. and I had it on my second floor, you know, and I held it up really high, And I said, okay. And I pointed it to the west, you know, whatever, towards Denver, whatever it was. And I pointed it like it told me, and I still couldn't get that station.
Uh-huh.
I took my old indoor antenna that I had in my attic that has, what do you call it, where they're like, not circles, but anyway, and then it has these little flaps that come up. Yes, yes. And I put that, actually in my basement, in my garage storage area where all the coax, you know, home runs are. And I friggin' got like 60, I got like 10 more channels, including every single channel that I wanted on there.
Awesome.
But I couldn't get it with this Walmart one that was, you know, as high as I could get. I just thought that was really strange.
Yeah. Do you know how far away the antenna is that you're trying to get your signal from?
You mean like in miles?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I would say, I think it's about 35.
Okay, got it.
And there, I have seen maps of that as well on some of the antenna vendors have maps of where the digital receiver or transmitters are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're using a format called ATSC, Advanced. Let's see here, Advanced Television Systems Committee standards.
Huh. Got it.
So it looks like they're still using NTSC, which is standard here. And
so, Donna, I sent you a link to one that I think you might be worth checking out.
Okay.
It comes from have you ever heard of a site called Monoprice?
Yes.
Yeah. It comes from, it's the Monoprice branded, and it basically supposedly has a 50-mile range, and it will receive full HD digital UHF TV signals. So, and up,
well,
to, up
be
to 50 miles.
I'm,
so,
okay. Yeah. The, well, is it, it, what shape is it? I'm just curious.
You know, it's kind of, this picture is really goofy.
Is it a panel type antenna or is it a dipole or a Yagi? I doubt it's a Yagi.
You tell me what you can make
of
that.
I would call that a panel antenna.
Yeah. It kind of looks like a computer monitor, like from the back, but
yeah, it's kind of like clamshellish.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, check it out.
Well, good. It's, well, I'll take a look.
Yeah.
But
you got me thinking though, because you know, I use TV. You know, I actually, you know, like click the, you know, go to live TV thing on my remote so seldom.
Yes.
And it's usually during football season. And I hear that they have football on those TV channels that come in over those antennas. And so this may be a way for me to save,
well,
you know, some big
money. I was able to watch the Super Bowl, so.
Oh, sweet.
So
what did you think of that halftime?
You know,
what do you think of the halftime show?
Well, you know, I thought it was good.
It was kind of science fiction-y, wasn't it?
It was a little different.
It was like an Anthony Hopkins army.
Yeah.
It was
good. But, I thought it was good. But back to these TV antennas, what was interesting, and the reason I was trying different antennas is because I have two televisions and my sisters are coming. And I thought, well, maybe I might have to get, you know, two antennas. And that's when I thought, oh, I'll just put my one antenna in the basement where these home runs, and then I could, you know, hook it to the splitter and all that, which works actually. So I just have one TV antenna in that basement storage area, and I can get the signal to my two televisions.
Cool.
So I only have to use my old antenna, and I basically returned the one that I got from Walmart. So.
All right. Well, keep us up to date on how that's going. So.
Yeah, because ultimately, I'd rather get something that isn't like a, you know, this big, you know, 2-foot antenna that's sitting in my storage area.
Yeah,
kind of funny. So,
anyway, I would want
to know how that works.
I want one that looks like something off of like those late 1950 science fiction, you know, movies. You know, and it would have to have like a motor so I could like aim it, you know, and stuff. So,
well,
you know,
yes.
And maybe
exactly.
Maybe make a sound like.
Well, the one that I bought for my attic has a motor, but I never connected it because I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. You know, I'll just point it. But every time you change the pointing, then you have to re-scan. And it takes, you know, it takes a long time to re-scan every time.
Got it.
I don't know. I'd like something that shows me signal levels for the different stations. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that's what I would really like.
I think that was on, isn't that built into the TV receiver part of it or the digital receiver?
Well, I don't know. When I tried it, it wasn't obvious. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
When I tried looking at receiver signals, you know, my TVs are old, by the way. They're like 8 years old. So,
got it.
I don't have anything that's new, but I am tempted to go get one of those really nice, you know, 4K, yada, yada, yada TVs. So we'll see. But anyway, well, listen,
right.
Thanks for the info.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Donna.
Yep, I'll listen to the rest of the show.
All right.
Thanks.
Talk
to you soon.
Bye.
Have a few more minutes here. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
Yeah. So you can buy a Tesla with Bitcoin now. Have you heard that?
I saw that Tesla bought $1.5 billion in Bitcoin.
I'm surprised that he didn't already have $1.5 billion. Or maybe he did. Now he has $3 billion.
He might. Yeah, who knows?
So,
but the $1.5 billion, you know, he's got one for himself and one for Tesla kind of thing.
Okay.
Or something like that. I don't know. We're just making things up. Sorry.
Nice.
Pay no attention to the people behind the microphones.
Good one, Matt. Good one. So, yeah. So let's see here. I was looking at an article about, let's see. Actually, that wasn't it. So there's a new scooter sharing app out. And these are pretty cool looking little, they're not those like stand-up scooters. This is a pretty cool looking little.
Oh, that's got some pretty serious tires on it, looks it? Like.
Oh, yeah, man. They're like little donuts. Man.
Yeah. Like, remind me of the old, they had the power, it was a, what are those things called? Like swamp hogs or something? It's like a motorcycle. It has a big fat wheel that's driven in the front. And
I can totally visualize what you're talking about. And it evolved into a three-wheeler eventually.
Yes.
I think, you know. And then people started getting hurt. And, So, yeah.
Don't try to turn and stop at the same time you go off the corner.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, don't even try to turn, period.
Don't try to turn.
So just go straight. So, let's see. What else is going on in the world today? So
it's pretty quiet on the technology front, really.
It really is. It's well, you know, it's a holiday.
Yep.
And I think this might actually be the first President's Day that we've actually done the show.
I think you might be right.
You know, I think we've really compromised our morals. In that.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find the R-Type that I played as a kid on my Super Nintendo, but I can't find it.
Yeah.
I'll have to go look. I actually fired that up last fall.
Uh-huh.
Still works.
Nice. Yeah, I had a Tandy TRS-80. I don't know if you remember those or not.
Is that the one with the digital cassette decks that you would like load into memory?
Yes, exactly. They don't show the cassette player.
Okay, because I had one of those. I don't remember what it was, but it was basically a big fat keyboard that was 3 or 4 inches thick, mm-hmm. and you had a tape player, and you load the.
Yeah, and it would take like 2 minutes to load a program, and it would take you 45 seconds to play it.
Yep.
Like if I play a game or whatever. So, anyway, well, hey, people, you people just wasted another 25 minutes of your lives listening to Geek Speak. Thank you.
Thank you.
So,
and not even any cable jiggling.
Yeah, exactly.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
All right, we'll be back in the first Monday of March.
March
wow, already.
March
wow.
Madness. All right. We promise we'll be fully mad.
Fully mad.
Yeah.
If we're not already.
Yeah.